Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? USA, international, anywhere out there in the world, I know I got international listeners. You know who it is, the one that brings you education, inspiration, and motivation. The owner and sole creator of Saving Our Athletes Respectfully, and my name is Pete Richardson, and today I got somebody straight up out of the LV, or you could call it the Longview, Texas, born December 2nd. The boy just had a birthday yesterday, so show my man some love. Former Texas Tech inside receiver, had him on my show once before, talking about his blog as soon as he started up, and now he in the midst of it all, going around churches, spreading his, what can you call it? Word. Talk about paying it forward to the youth out there. And for you guys, for the ladies who don't know, this guy's about 6'7", rangy guy. You could throw it up anywhere. And basically a quarterback's dream, man. Just bringing it. If I was a quarterback, I just had to toss it up and talk about Randy Moss. And I'm talking about his name is Adrian. Ricky Reese. What's up, my man? Long time no speak.
What's going on, Pete? It has been a while.
It's been a minute. I done briefly introduced you, man. Talk about how tall you is. Sorry about that, man. But I'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself, my man. Go on ahead.
Adrian Reese, like you said, out of Longview, Texas. Currently residing in Dallas at Rockwall, to be exact. But went to Texas Tech, linked up with Pete, were teammates, and kind of on the same wavelength now as far as trying to give back to the youth and do all we can to help those coming behind us, being former athletes ourselves. You know the struggle, know how hard it is, know the different obstacles that you have to overcome. So, you know, I'm just trying to do my part, and just like any other person.
Yeah, that's right. Do your part. And that brings up a great point. Like you said, do your part. A lot of people just kind of go through life, and I'm not saying that it's wrong. You know, just kind of worry about them and worry about just them and their household and not really giving back to the community. And which brings up a topic that we're going to get into later, and we're talking about the Ferguson ordeal, and everybody's talking about, you know, people going around with their hands up, people talking about police brutality, some people talking about, well, he killed an unarmed black teen and whatnot, and now people want to come forth, but before things even come forth, you still gotta want to contribute to the community. But we're gonna get into that part and talk about this amazing thing. So, Mr. Reese, go ahead and let the people know the amazing things that you've been doing. You were telling me earlier that you and some group of guys from high school went and did a teen summit. Talking about abstinence, and for you guys, for you listeners out there who don't really know what abstinence is, if you guys haven't went over sexual education in high school yet, abstinence is where you don't have no sex at all. That's where you don't get a risk of having no babies. You don't have a risk of getting any disease. You don't have no risk of, as some people call, clinginess, whether if you're male or female, because sometimes after sex you want to get clingy to your significant other or whatnot. So if you could just go ahead and elaborate that happened November 8th, so that was a little bit over a month ago. So if you could just elaborate on that, Mr. Reese, and just let the audience know the great thing that you guys talked about during that teen summit. Looks like I lost him right there. Let's get him right there. Mr. Reese, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Look like I lost you there for a minute. Sorry about that. Did you get to hear what I was asking you?
I did, asking about the teen summit.
Yeah. That's it right there. Go ahead, man. You got the floor.
Yeah, and we were, like I said, me and a few of my classmates and friends, and my girlfriend included, we went back home to Longview, Texas, and did a teen summit centered around abstinence and talking about what abstinence is and God's take on it. Because, there's so many times that we kind of get a misconception of what all it entails. And, you know, abstinence really has nothing to do with sex and everything to do with appetite. And that's pertaining to anything. Because once you get a taste of something and you get exposed to it, then that desire starts to stir up and build, and you begin to want it and crave for it more and more to the point where you're willing to do any and everything to get it. And that's not just with anything, whether it be drugs, whether it be stealing, whether it be just a thrill of even hitting, you know, or whatever it may be, but it's just that appetite of it. But just talking to the teens about abstaining from and making right choices and doing and living the way that God intended for us to live, because at the end of the day, only the things that we do for Christ is what's going to last, and doing things in our lifetime that will outlast our lifetime. And so it was really good, and we had 33 teens to come out, and 10 teens at the end of the day committed themselves to living a life of abstinence, and then we had five that committed to committed their life to Christ. And, you know, that's really what it's all about, and that really opened my eyes and changed my perspective on, you know, what I'm here to do, what God placed me here to do. It's not so much, you know, me, just like everybody else, kind of get caught up in making money and grinding and going out, trying to do better and all of this for myself. But at the end of the day, you know, my job and my purpose ultimately is to, you know, I found Christ myself, and my job is to pay it forward and help others and lead others to Christ. And so just seeing those five who committed themselves to living for Christ, that was, I mean, that was priceless. There's no price you can put on it to say how valuable it was and how good of a feeling it is. And so, you know, it just changed my perspective and really refocused me and refocused my attention to where it needed to be, and not so much worrying about me, I got to get this, I got to get that, but just how can I help those around me get to what I already know, which is, you know, the love of God.
Right, right. I like that. Get to that. Get around to what you already know, and that is the love of God. G-O-D with a capital G. That's what I'm talking about right there. And you made another valid point where you was like, it's kind of hard not to get caught up, you know, just to making money and, you know, just enjoying life whenever you know your purpose is to give back. And when you're talking about give back, that's giving back to the youth. And like you're talking about it during the team summit, talking about abstinence is just not about sex. It's about, you know, drugs, stealing, and all that. So that brings me to another point, Mr. Reese. Because we know what's going on with that Ferguson. If the things would have never escalated, if those guys wouldn't have stole a box of Swiss or Sweets. So not to say what Darren Wilson did was right, but I'm just saying that the circumstances would have been different if them guys wouldn't have went in there and thought about stealing. So which means if they would have chose the abstinence route, that they wouldn't have ended up in the result, and the country would not be where it is right now. But I really, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know what I mean? But that's a whole other topic. That's a whole other story. But what could you tell that 17 or 18-year-old kid that's about to go to college like Michael Brown, you know, about abstinence? So kind of like what you were talking about in the team summit. So if you could just kind of briefly display that same message, like, to the audiences out here, because projectively listen to the show, our athletes, and, you know, once we get into college, we need to learn some things, because in our area we weren't really exposed to a lot. So whenever you do come to college and you do get in that high profile atmosphere and everybody want to put you on this pedestal, what are some things that when you're a young pup coming in the game, that something that should be smart to keep abstinent? So not only just sex, but like in the athletic world and the socially world here in the college atmosphere, what's something that athlete should be able to should look for and try to stay away from, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, I would definitely say drugs for one. At the end of the day, like you said, with the whole Michael Brown situation, you know, he was robbing for Swiss and Sweets, which goes to show that his appetite for that was so bad that he was willing to rob to get it. So had he, he may still be here today, you know. But at the same time, who's to say that what line of events would have transpired? And, you know, that's all. Hindsight is always 20/20. So of course we can look back on it and say, well, had this happened differently, maybe this he would still be here. But just to abstain from drugs, to avoid, you know, sex, really, because there's so many things that so many difficulties that we bring on ourselves when we expose ourselves to drugs and sex and alcohol and different things like that before, you know, its proper time. And, you know, sex is designed to be done within the confines of marriage. And even with the drugs, you know, because athletes, you know, me and you were both college athletes, and there's drug tests done all the time. And we always talk about, as kids growing up, we were always, our goal was, you know, to make it to the league, make it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can't abide within the rules of high school, we can't abide within the rules of college, because there are going to be more rules. And if we can't abide within the rules of college, how can we expect to abide within the rules of the NFL? Because there's going to be more rules, because there's more expected of you, because there's more given to you. In high school, you know, you're just going, you're within the UIL, and so there's always a governing body over you. But when you go to the NCAA, you're given more. Now you're not so much a paid athlete, but you are getting paid in the sense of, if you're on scholarship, they're paying you, they're investing in you, and so they expect more out of you. And so for you to have those bad habits going in, it's going to make it that much harder to refrain from it. And then if you happen to make it to the NFL or to whatever professional sport that you're participating in, now they're really paying you. They're writing you a paycheck, and they're investing millions of dollars into you. And so they expect much more out of you. You should expect more out of yourself. And so just by establishing these good habits early on, it makes it that much easier to abstain from those habits going forward. And even if you don't, and I'm finding out now, you know, I had dreams of making it to the NFL, and I didn't, and who's to say, I'm not counting it out. Hey, I might be there one day, but I'm not there now. But I understand the importance of the choices I made in going to college. First of all, getting my high school diploma, going to college, finishing college. I had my struggles throughout. I've had my different experiences with drugs, with alcohol, with sex, and all of this. But, you know, I've learned from it, and I stayed the course, because I had the quality people around me, keeping me focused on the things that I needed, and I had a relationship with God. And I really came to know God and came to value those things after college, when my dreams and my plans didn't pan out. Because because I didn't have a habit, and I changed my ways of not drinking and smoking and carrying myself in a presentable manner, pulling my pants up, not walking around sagging and talking with respect, not necessarily saying yes sir, no ma'am, but just simply saying yes and no, and not yeah, no, things like that makes a huge difference. Because in the workplace, when you're trying to go out and get a job, that's what makes a difference. You know, I don't care if you're black, white, purple, or whatever. People look at you as a person. And if you come in with the attitude and with the mindset of, oh, I'm black, or I'm white, or I'm Hispanic, and they're going to look at me and they're going to think this of me, they are going to think that of you. Because whatever you think of yourself, that's what you're going to force other people to believe about you. And if you're coming in with that mindset, you know, it's just going to make it that much harder on you. So it's just, you know, at that early age, establishing those good habits, so when you get older, you don't have to worry about breaking that habit. I mean, it's that much easier to abstain from the things that you don't need to do and that are harmful for you, and to stay the course with the things that are beneficial to you, and just keeping the right people around you. Know people. Everybody has different intentions, but at the end of the day, you having a good relationship with God, having a personal relationship with God, it'll direct everything else around you, because He orchestrates everything that goes on. So just by staying connected to the vine, I mean, He's going to connect you to everything else.
You hit the nail right on the nose, man. From obeying the rules and you know, from a young age to high school, and then from college, and then to the professional, and then I like to touch on your story a little bit. Just how you said, like you experimented, you know, with drugs and then with the women, but you always stayed the course. And with that being said, you always stayed. You saying that you stayed the course, which means that you didn't give up. You know, no matter what you've done, no matter what life threw at you, you know, athletically or academically, you kept going. You stayed strong, which makes a valid point. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. So for the athletes out there that's kind of going through some hard things, you're going through your sophomore, your junior year, and in the midst of all things, you know you can't go back home. Your partner's telling you to come back home, or you got a dream of going to the NFL, but right now you're not starting, or if you feel like you want to get your degree, but you're not doing so well on your finals right now, you don't really understand why. You could be putting in the time. You could be doing everything everything right, but still be kind of falling short in the classroom, and then not really living your dream as playing or getting a lot of game time on the collegiate field, and so you finding yourself like kind of being stuck. Like I've been putting so much work in the classroom, and it's not really working out. I've been putting so much work on the football field, but I'm still second or third stream, or maybe fourth stream. And you didn't put in so much work, and you got your family depending on you to make it out. So now you just kind of stuck. Like, what do I do now? I don't want to give in. So some people turn to weed, some people turn to girls, some people turn to alcohol to help them get through the midst of all that. But like what Mr. Reese was saying, but now that you're in college, you got more rules to obey by. So it's like if you turn to drugs, you put yourself liable. You make yourself liable to susceptible to a drug test. So now you get a surprise drug test, and you're not playing on the field, you're not doing good in school, you could be going bad on a relationship or not. So then you could turn to drugs, and then you get a surprise drug test, and then it's just like you done found yourself in a real hole. So abstinence is a great way to stay astray. And one thing my pops used to tell me whenever I was growing up, he would always tell me, keep it simple. And I turned that into an acronym that I've later found out is a lot of people around the world has been using it. And the acronym, and keep it simple, if you break it down, it's KISS. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not just like, hey, what's up, boo? Let me get a kiss. You know what I'm saying? Woo, woo. But no, it's like keep it simple. If you want to take it a step further, because sometimes people need to light that fire up under you. You know what I mean? Sometimes it takes a lot of – sometimes it takes, like, athlete from a standpoint – there's two types of athletes. One athlete don't really need nobody to get him going, which nobody really should be able to get you going anyway. But then there's an athlete that goes out there not really performing well. Then it takes a coach to get into his butt. You know what I'm saying? To yell at him, tell him he not nothing or whatnot, to get that athlete to go out there and perform to his utmost potential. And which means is sometimes if they're not really getting it where you telling them to keep it simple, then you can add another S to the end of it and be like, man, well, keep it simple, stupid. You know what I'm saying? And that's still KISS. You know what I'm saying? And not calling them stupid as a bad thing, but calling them stupid to help them to get that fire lit up under that booty. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, we're going to take a small little break. Mr. Reese, I got a youth minister on the line here called Mr. Stephen Ivey. He's going to bless the show. He's going to bless the show with a quick little word, and then we're going to get right back into the interview. And for the audience out there, please bear with my man right now. He's saying that his voice is a little messed up. So we're going to go ahead and get him on, and so he can get on with his day. What's up, Mr. Ivy, you there, my man?
Hey, man. Hey, how's it going?
Oh, man, we doing good. Yeah, you wasn't lying, was you?
Yeah, man, my voice is pretty bad.
I hear you, man. Well, all right, man, short and quick. The floor is yours.
Short and quick. Yesterday, we talked about no pain and no gain. And then
right.
there's a real quick story. Real quick story I want to tell you. I was watching Grey's Anatomy years ago. There was a little girl that came into the hospital that thought that she was a superhero. And she thought she was a superhero because she couldn't feel pain. So she would do all types of different tricks to make people believe that she was a superhero. And one of the last things that she did was she let a boy take a baseball bat and beat her in her rib cage. And she could feel no pain. She bragged about this. She had a few scars. She had a few bruises, but she couldn't feel pain. She goes to the hospital, finds out that she has to have emergency surgery because although she could feel no pain, she was internally broken and had a lot of internal bleeding going on. And many of us in our lives, if it wasn't for pain, pain oftentimes tells us when something is wrong, when something is broken. Pain helps us get what's bad fixed. And so I just want to, again, drive that point home. No pain, no gain. Be grateful for the pain that you endure because pain helps you appreciate the process.
I like that. I like that right there. No pain, no gain. But be thankful for the pain because it helps you endure that process. I like that message right there, Mr. Ivy. Broken voice and all. So be thankful for that broken voice because it's helpful. Be thankful because it's that journey. It's all about that journey, man. So
yes,
I appreciate that, Mr. Ivy. You go ahead and go take care of that voice, my man.
All righty.
All right, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, please. My pleasure. That was Youth Minister Stephen Ivy right there. God bless him with his voice, man. I know there's many voices that's been heard by him and that he's delaying a powerful message too. So I could just only imagine how he's feeling right now. And on the line, I do got a former wide receiver from Texas Tech. His name is Adrian Reese. Straight up out of Longview, residing out of Rockwell right now. And November 8th, he had a teen summit talking about abstinence, and it was him and a bunch of guys that he played football with, and they were delivering a message about abstinence, but not only about sex, but also about stealing, you know, all types of things, which all boils down to really keeping it simple. Talking about kiss, not really talking about kiss. I'm trying to kiss you, boo, but I'm trying to tell you, you know, if you want to kiss a boo, then you need to kiss you, which means keep it simple within yourself. All right, Mr. Reese, are you still there, my man?
I'm still here.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So all right, man. Now let's talk about this Ferguson situation because yes, it's wrong that them guys did steal some Swisher Sweets and everything. You know what I mean? So that is wrong. But I don't really think that's the issue. The issue right now, I feel like I don't think it's a race issue. But it kind of plays a little bit into it, but I really feel like it's a police brutality issue because even not only if you're black, I feel like our minorities, it's like we have a unspeaking code that our parents do tell us growing up that most people can't really understand because we could be walking, you know, and see a police and our whole demeanor would change, or we could be in a car. Especially when we're away in college, be in a car and have a fitted cap on. And we see a cop, some of us can take our hats off because we'd be like, man, I don't want him to basically say that we're all black teens aren't thugs and all police aren't bad. That's my whole point. I feel like all black teens are not thugs and all cops are not bad. And what I was speaking on a few weeks ago is, a few days ago, is like sometimes we get up out of practice and we can look like all we got on is gym shorts, maybe a big old hoodie if it's kind of cold, but not really that cold. I remember specifically I used to have on some long socks that used to come up with almost to my knees with some house shoes on, with a tank top on, with my do-rag and my fitted cap, looking like a little version of 50 Cent probably, walking down the street with my chin hair almost down, you know, probably like 3 to 4 inches, you know what I mean? So if somebody upon another race was to see me, they would think I just got through robbing somebody. You know what I mean? So just imagine if I'm not walking by myself. Just imagine how we used to travel back in the day after practice. We would travel in packs. You know what I mean? Whether if we was walking to Marshall Sharp right after practice, whether if we was walking to you didn't have to stay in the dorms, whether we was walking to the dorms or went to class, we looked like a group of thugs as people would portray us to be. You know what I mean? But in all reality, we in college getting a degree. We in college, numbers of thousands is paying decent money to come watch us play. You know what I mean? But it's almost like in society when we're not playing, when we're in society, we're being our normal selves, then they want to call us thugs. So the point I'm trying to make is, yes, it was wrong that that Mr. Brown stole those Swisher Sweets, but it's like, why pull up on them and tell them to get the F off of the road? Which, you know, I feel like a lot of black teens has been talking that way. Like we used to hearing that things, especially from our superiors, and especially the ones who's supposed to be protecting and serving. So our first instinct, you know, is to move out the way. But anyway, that's beside the point. I really want to get your take on it, Mr. Reese. So, like, tell me how you really feel about the situation and how we can better the community from it.
Well, speaking on the whole Ferguson situation, I don't know all the details of it, and nobody does, and nobody ever will. But and all we can do is kind of share our opinion on it. But at the end of the day, I believe it boils down to a character issue. And that's not just saying, you know, and I'm not saying that as if Michael Brown had bad character, but the way to improve and stop everything that's going on is to improve individual character. Because at the end of the day, at the root of that word character is the word act, A-C-T, and that's all it boils down to, the way we act, the way we carry ourselves. Because just like you said, there's times like when we getting out of practice and we walk around and we got hoodies on or whatever and we impact. I mean, somebody may say something absurd to us or something inappropriate to us, but at the end of the day, the way we act or the way we react to it determines how the course of action is going to take place. And so when it boils down to it, just by improving individual character, you know, that will help to eliminate these types of situations, because like you said, the officer, you know, there's nobody really knows exactly what was said to him, but even if he said something that was inappropriate to Michael Brown, the reaction, if we work on the character and how we react to obscene comments or things of that matter, then that can diffuse situations, or that can put ourselves in the right to where it would eliminate the violence taking place. And it's, you know, it's real hard for me to kind of speak more about it, because like I said, I don't have many details on it, and I don't like speaking out of ignorance about anything. But
right.
I know, just speaking on a personal note, you know, I've been there. I used to, when I was younger, I was walking around sagging, and, you know, I'm a taller guy, bigger guy, athletic build. And so, yeah, people looked at me differently or had different ideas of what I would or who I was and how I acted. But then once they talked to me and I talked with some sense and I say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, or just using proper English and just the way I carry myself, they couldn't judge me by how I look, because at the end of the day, my character spoke for itself. And, you know, that's something that I know our youth really need, because they are our future. But our youth are watching us, because they're simply going to do what they see. And if we're acting with no character, and if we're out rioting and burning down businesses that those owners worked hard for, you know, some of those business owners, that's family businesses. That's all they have. That's how they eat. That's how they put food on their kids, in their kids' mouth. That's how they put clothes on their back. What do they do now? You know, and even, you know, with the Ferguson, there's a lot of rioters that were from out of town. So how does that make any sense? That really doesn't make any sense to me, coming to another community and vandalizing that community and going back to yours and going into the store to buy things that you need and going to your nice community that's still intact, but it just doesn't really make sense. But it all boils down to character. And if we're out doing that and basically saying we don't care about what this person has worked so hard for and we're going to burn their business down and steal everything out of their store, then what are our youth saying? Are we sending the right message of, yeah, Michael Brown, I'm protesting for Michael Brown, but how am I any better? Or what am I doing to help my kids, the ones that are looking at me? Or are they going to be the ones that go to school and when a teacher tells them something they don't like, they throw the desk around the room and they're protesting. They're doing the same thing that we did. And, I mean, how can we speak out against that? Because that's the message that we're sending. That's the character that we're showing, that when things don't go our way, we tear things up. And that's not how we survive in this world, in community. That's not how we make our community better. We have voices to be heard, but we have to use those voices and educate ourselves and not speak out of ignorance, have the facts, have our opinion, and be passionate about it. And, you know, just at the end of the day, having that relationship with Christ and letting God lead our action. Because, like I said, that character issue is the way we act. And with God on the inside, our actions will always fall in line. If we do everything according to his will the best we can, everything else will fall into place. And it's not for us to understand how or why, it's just to trust that it will. And, that, I mean, that's all that faith is.
That faith.
And, And I'm not saying have faith and not do anything, but like I said, we have voices to be heard. There's a time to be heard and there's a time to be quiet. And go ahead.
I'm listening. Keep going, man.
No, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that now is the time for us to step back. It is a time for us to be heard, but it's also a time for us to be heard without bringing other people down. And that's really what Rioting is doing. We're trying to come up, but we're bringing business owners down. They're having to start over from scratch. They're rebuilding their lives because they have nothing to live off of. And so how is that making our community better? It's not. And we're making the community worse. We're trying to come up, and we're, as a race, as an African-American race, we're saying, you know, we want justice, but we're not creating peace. And, you know, we can't, no justice, no peace, but how are we creating peace? We're trying to take justice into our own hands, but we're causing chaos. And, you know, and chaos, you can't bring peace when you're causing chaos. And we can't come up and bring other people down. We're supposed to, and it's just like we talked about before, about paying it forward and just helping those around us to come up. We all rising as people, as one, and not just the black community, but everybody, because we're all here to help each other be better. And so by going out and rising, we're not helping anybody be better. We're making ourselves look worse. We're making our people, our race look worse, and we're bringing those business owners and those families down. They have kids.
I completely agree with you on that, man. And it's like, you know, the violence is not going to get us anywhere. Just like you said, it all boils down to, no matter what that officer said, or no matter if it might not even be an officer. Let's portray it in your own life. It might not be what your girlfriends tell you, which can have a guy react, and then in a physical way, and then that's what you call domestic violence. So yeah, I really like what you said right there, because it's not really about them. It's always about you and how you act and how you react, which most importantly. So I really like the way that you said things and the way that you put things right there, because at the end of the day, it seems like when things don't go our way, that that's just how we act. But there's like another side to the story, which I'm going to get into tomorrow, I got a great point that I'm going to talk about tomorrow, how more I'm going to elaborate on. But this is just kind of something that's on my chest. Yes, but I just didn't like the way how the media only really, that's the part that they're blowing up, is the violent protests. Is now they talking about how they're going to try to indict Michael Brown's stepfather, trying to say that he caused the riot and everything. And it's just, I feel, and plus them moving the verdict to tonight and all, like there's a lot of things that's kind of I guess people could say like a conspiracy type of thing. It's like, because they knew, and then you had a Charles Barkley interview talking about what black people was going to riot, whether if he would have got indicted, you know what I mean? So it's like there's a lot into it, and who is it to blame? I feel like the blame should be on us. We should take responsibility, because I'm not really sure how old your father is or things like that. I know my father used to tell me he was lucky to get past the age of 25. But I feel like our people who is older than us, people who we look up to, will tell us if the police say something, put your hand, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing, because they know they'll put six shots in your back, and then and then try to say that you was attacking them, and they'll just fabricate the statements and all that, because they're willing to do that. But the teens nowadays don't really know how to keep their mouth shut. It seems like they always want to retaliate, and I feel like sometimes people can blame it on the rap music, in which I'm going to get in there tomorrow. You know what I mean? So everybody out there listening, you got to get into it tomorrow, because I really got a great message. Well, all right, Mr. Reese, that's going to conclude our interview. Is there anything that you want to tell the audience of that 17 to 18-year-old or the 22 to 23-year-old about to graduate college? Is there something that you want to, like a quote or something that can help them whenever they're going through a dark time or a hard time in college or whatnot? Is there something that you can share with them real fast?
Well, I would say, you know, just my coach, my summer league coach in high school would always tell me, pray before I play. And because at the end of the day, everything we do it to give God glory. And just establish that personal relationship with God, and then live what you believe. Because at the end of the day, sticking to your beliefs, it'll get you through. And as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and
just living what you believe, and everything else take care of itself.
I like that right there. Hit the nail right on the nose once again. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Mr. Reese, it's really been my pleasure, man. And you know, hopefully I can get you on one more time or again and again. As long as you just keep going out there doing positive things in the community and keep doing what you're doing. And don't forget to always pay it forward, my brother.
All right, man. I appreciate it, man. I'll definitely be back whenever.
All right, it's been my pleasure. You have a great day.
You too.
All right, sounds good. All right, yeah, that was former Texas Tech Red Raider wide receiver Adrian Reese right now is residing out of Rockwell, Texas, right outside of Dallas. And the guy's a really smart dude. He had a crazy journey here at Texas Tech. It turned his life around. And just so you know, I believe he was in a recruiting class with Michael Crabtree, Brandon Williams, Brian Duncan, a lot of those guys who went off to do great things. And he's doing great things himself. Got some great parents. He's the son of a pastor. And, like, everyone has to go through their own struggle. You know what I mean? Once you go through your own struggle, they say experience is the best teacher. I'm going to go ahead and conclude the show. And you guys know the inspiration, motivation, and education. Saving athletes respectfully. Y'all know me, the owner and soul creator, Pete. Or you can call me PDP Richardson. Tomorrow, I'm calling it Tupac Thursday. I'm calling it Tupac Thursday. So don't jump to conclusions thinking I'm going to be playing a lot of rap music and all this and that. But there's a reason why I'm calling it Tupac Thursday. You might not change the world, but that doesn't mean you should give back and spark somebody who might change the world. So don't be selfish. Just because you might not change the world shouldn't mean that you shouldn't try to give back and try to spark somebody else because they might change the world. That's the type of message that I'm displaying tomorrow. All right, it's the end of my interview. My name is Pete Richardson, owner and soul creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully, where we keep you educated, motivated, and inspirated. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody have a great day. See you tomorrow. Peace.